Our gospel for this fourth Sunday in Advent comes to us from the first chapter of the gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Well, Luke starts off with the story of a little bit of history and then hearing about John the Baptist coming and the surprise to his parents over that. And then it continues with another surprising story. When I start seeing this gospel, I almost feel like I should ask, you know, the people from the Holden music team to start singing this, because this is, you know, part of the Holden evening prayer. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Now, I can neither confirm nor deny that this is a true story. But this is a time of the year when there's a lot of traveling because of the holidays and family. Well, I heard that there was an older gentleman who called his son up and said, "That's it. 45 years of misery is more than enough. Your mom and I are getting a divorce." "What? Where's this coming from, Dad? We can't stand the sight of each other. I'm sick of her face. I'm sick of talking about this. You got to tell your sister, I don't want to talk about this anymore," and he hung up. The boy immediately picked up the phone, called his sister, and told her. She's like, there's no way they're getting divorced now. Don't do anything, I'll be right back. She picked up the phone, called her dad. "What are you talking about? Don't do anything, don't sign papers, don't do anything stupid. We'll be there tomorrow." Dad hung up the phone, looked at his wife, and said, "The kids are coming for Christmas and they're buying their own tickets." I've often heard that old age and treachery will always beat youth and vigor, you know. Now, this is something Lutherans, we're proud but not too proud. So I just need to say this. You know, I have definitely proven myself to be a trophy husband. A participation trophy, but a trophy husband. I wonder if Joseph felt like a trophy husband or not. Or a participation trophy husband or not. He's this guy that you hear about vaguely in the stories a couple of times. In Matthew, you hear him kind of going, "Wait a minute, you're what?" And it takes an angel to come and visit him and go, no, you need to explain, it's all right. His reaction was not very different than Mary's initial reaction. And no offense, if anyone came up to me and started that whole line with, "High, holy, and most favored, the Lord is with you," It's kind of like going up to your friend and going, buddy, pal, friend for life. And if you're anything like any of my friends, you go, no, Dave, you can't have my beer. Or, what favor are you asking? Or what are you signing me up for? This time of the year, the radio is filled with all kinds of songs about Christmas. Some actually about Christmas, some about, well, the season. And one of those songs that seems to be very popular is that song, Mary, Did You Know? The answer, in short, is yes and no. Yes, she was the first one to be told that she is going to give birth to the Son of God, Son of the Most High. He's going to be great. He's going to do all of these things. He's going to be given the throne of David. He will come to save his people. All of these things she knew. Now, the song does dabble in all kinds of things about specifics, about, you know, he was going to walk on water and help the blind man see and all that kind of stuff. No. She didn't know those things. But honestly, people, how many of us as parents know what to expect? How many of us really need to be reminded of the fact that, Hi, most favored one, the Lord is with you. When you're looking at your child and you're going, what are you doing? When you're blaming your child for acting like the other one. You know, and what I mean by that is, I often heard the conversations when me or my brothers were acting in particular ways, whether or not we were acting more like the Polish side or the Danish side, depending on supposedly if we were more like our mom or more like our dad, and there was never an agreement. It normally was whoever got to say it first. Firsties. I wonder what Joseph said when Jesus would do something. You know, what's Mary going to say? You're acting just like, wait a minute. Mary, did you know? You know, all the way in the beginning, in Genesis, it talks about the fact that the curse that God supposedly placed on Adam and Eve specifically mentions the wife, the mother, for having birth pangs and the pain of having children. And any woman who's given birth will tell you that, yes, there's a lot of pain involved. Important safety tip, do not give two fingers to a pregnant woman to squeeze unless you want both of them broken. Also wear loose-fitting clothes, so if you have chest hair, she can't rip it out. Don't ask me how I know. But the reality of that statement is not just the fact that getting them out into the world brings pain. It's them going out into the world that often brings the most pain. What's going to happen? What kind of world are they going to be in? How will people treat them? What are they going to do? What are they going to be when they grow up? And then as they get older, did I prepare them? Are they ready? I'm seeing all of these parents shaking their heads, yes. Yes. Mary, did you know? Yes and no. We hope, don't we, as parents? We hope a great deal. We do our best, or so we hope. And we pray. And we pray that we were favored enough, the Lord was with us enough, that more importantly, the Lord is with them as they go out. That difficulty, that preparation in life, is one of those things that might in its own way mirror some of the struggle in preparation for the coming of the Christ child in the first place. Are we ready? Do we know? What's it going to be like? How's it going to be? What's going to happen? Am I ready? And that is part of the preparation of life itself, isn't it? That's part of the reason why it's faith. People often like to say the opposite of faith is doubt. No, the opposite of faith is knowing. How often is our deepest disappointments, our biggest pains, and our biggest struggles is when we know this is what's going to happen and it doesn't. Because we projected out, this is how it's going to be. And guess what? Especially when you're dealing with children or any other person in the world who's got their own brain, that's never how it works. We need faith. Faith that allows us to go, let it be. As you say, I don't know. But I trust in that first couple of statements that I'm favored, the Lord is with me, peace be with you, be not afraid. For those are the things we need to take with us. As we take each and every new day, each and every day when we wake up and go, well, what's this day going to bring? What's this day going to bring? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But what if it sucks? The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. The promise is given. Because as we prepare for the gift of the birth of the Son of God, the child of God, do we remember that we ourselves are children of God? And that God loves us. God hopes the best for us. God blesses us and is with us to the end of the age, because that kingdom will have no end. The promise is sure. So as we face each and every day, whether it's Christmas Day and all the lights are shining and the packages are there and all the families surrounded and all the families behaving themselves, to those days that might more describe what's happening in Bethlehem right now, God is here. God still chooses to come into this, even into the hands of a young woman who's barely old enough to give birth. God comes because God trusts, God hopes, God loves, and God comes again and again. So that we might be able to say, let it be so as you say. That we can go into a new day, knowing the gift that comes and the presence and promise of a love that'll never go away. Maybe, then maybe, we might be able to take this season and keep it going, as you know and I know that God loves us. And so remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.